This morning's public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3, and we're going to pick up in verses 22 to the end. John's Gospel, chapter 3, verses 22 and following. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John was also baptizing in Aeon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth all men, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he had seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received this testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Amen. Well, if you haven't picked up on this, actually, beginning in verses 27 to 36, I think we find the longest recorded words that ever came from John the Baptist. When you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you do not find too much of John's message, somewhat delineated, more so than you find here. Now, there is a little hint in verse 24 that people do not catch. Verse 24 says, For John was not yet cast into prison. When you read the other three Gospels, they normally begin following the baptism of Jesus. You find John's imprisonment immediately comes up in the narrative. There are those who say, by tradition, that the church or the Christians kind of came to John more than once and to beg what happened before John's imprisonment. And then John puts pen to parchment, because what we're reading right now is in the very early years of Jesus' ministry in John's Gospel. And you're told that by the time he's writing here in chapter 3, time-wise, at the chronology, John is not yet in prison. The other three Gospels, you find John in prison. And so these chapters that we've just been reading, John adds because the other three Gospel narratives do not supply those historical events. That's something you might find somewhat interesting. Well, we begin in verse 22. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And you will find elsewhere that Jesus was not the one doing the baptism. It was the disciples who were baptizing those who were responding to Jesus' words. And then we're told in verse 23, this is John's location. And notice there was much water. Well, if you're going to pour and sprinkle, you don't need too much water. So this is one evidence that the baptism that was being conducted was a full bath in the water completely and then coming up out of the water completely. So that's one indicator that there was much water because of the method of baptism that they were using. Now in verse 25, there arises this question between John's disciples and the Jews about purification. Okay, purifying oneself in a ritual bath. Okay, that's what we're talking about. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Now, this is another principle that you find sometimes that works out in everyday living. Here goes the illustration from your pastor. You have one church on one block, simply full of people, packed full of people. And when they sing, they literally raise the roof off of the building. And then down the other opposite end of the street is this little church with just a handful of people. Just a handful of people. And when they sing, their roof stays intact, but they sing from the heart, they sing with joy, and they sing with a pure heart. Well, do you think, knowing people who we are, that some of the members of that larger church would come across some of the members of this little church and have the temptation to rub a little bit into the face of that pastor how many heads we have versus how many heads you have? Or our offerings are much bigger than your offerings. That's the principle that's going on here. Whoever these individuals, okay, whoever came to John with this question about purifying, I find it amazing. They had questions about ceremonial bathing, and they go right for the jugular. Jesus seems to be more popular than you. He's baptizing more people than you are. So what is the Christian's response? What kind of a response when someone tries to compare ministries on the number of heads and the number of dollars that are collected Sunday to Sunday? And don't sit there and don't listen to me and say, well, that never happens. Yes, it does. It does. Because we're flesh. But here's my question to you. What was John's response? John answered and said, verse 27, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. So the pastor with that little church, in some cases, he may be more spiritually minded than the pastor of the big mega church, because that pastor of the little church realizes, if I have anyone to whom I'm ministering, God is the one who gave it to me. And I should learn to be happy and content. That's what John's saying. A man can receive nothing. That would include saving, being saved. That would be given, that would also apply to a ready, sharp mind. That would apply to a healthy body that's able to go out there and work a 40-hour week without too much pain. Doesn't need too much cream or arthritis cream on his sore bones or muscles. That can mean a host of things. A blessed wife, blessed children, health, a family, etc. A man can receive nothing except it be given him from above. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Messiah, but that I am sent before him. And then John goes further. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, that's John the Baptist, which standeth and heareth him, hearing Jesus, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And notice what John says. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. Out of all that John went through, and his ultimate losing his head from his shoulders. The ultimate prize for John the Baptist was to hear the voice of his Messiah. This, my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. And then the crowning act of submission and humility. He must increase, but I must decrease. And I heard other pastors illustrate verse 30. John the Baptist was like the moon setting, okay, in the west. And then the sun, Jesus, rising from the east to shine forth the light of his Father's words and to fulfill his mission in his atonement. Then John continues, he that cometh from above is above all. John is now identifying the origin. Where did this Messiah come from? Well, he's not of this earth. He's heavenly. He that is of the earth is earthly. That goes back to that principle, 1 Corinthians 15. That which is of the earth is earthly. And speaketh of the earth. Think of your types and your visions that we got done in the last hour. He that cometh from heaven is above all. What he hath seen and heard, he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Even today, that sad conclusion can still be found today. Many still do not receive Jesus' message. He that received his testimony had set to a seal that God is true. So when you believe everything about Jesus, what he said and what he accomplished, then you put to his seal that God is true. That God did send Messiah. For he whom God had sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Holy Spirit by measure unto him. In Corinthians, Paul tells us that the Spirit of God is distributed to the saints as he wills. But the full measure of the Spirit being given to any one individual was only given to Christ. The Spirit was given to Christ without measuring, without giving a certain dosage. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, notice the word believeth in the Authorized Version, ETH, ongoing. It's not a one-time act you did when you were 12 or 10 or 15 years old. It's a constant reality. He that believeth continually on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So there we have John's long sermon. John's long sermon. And may God choose to bless his word. Amen.